Today's daf from Masechet Megillah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is Daf Hey. And we are holding right at that Halakha Mishnah. And since Richie seems to be strongly awaiting this moment of destiny, even exposing his incredible Kapitan face to us, there is no choice. We must begin with those Halakha words. That was a great one, Rich. Thank you. Okay. So, we've been talking as if we knew how to define things the whole time. We had this Ir Gedolah, and we had this Kfar, and like, how exactly do we define those terms? They're awfully loose. A Zohi Ir Gedolah. So what do you mean when you say that there's a large town? So actually, we referred to this before, of course, which we always do when we're introducing a Mishnah. A large town is called Sheyeshba Asara Batanim. So once you have people that are all in the Beit HaKnesset at all times, then there's no halacha of being Maktib L'Yom HaKnisa. Again, this is strongly indicative of the Rambam and other Rishonim's approach, as opposed to Rashi, that the meaning of Yom HaKnisa is the Monday and Thursday locally in your town, and not like Rashi learns that we go to other places. So anyway, if you're going to be able to get a minyan together every day, and you do because you have 10 batlanim, which means they are assigned this particular purpose, and they're actually supported for that purpose, as the Rishonim bring. And what's fascinating is that this okay, we'll wait till we're in the Gemara to explain what we do this for. But these people are around all the time, specifically in order for us to be able to have minyanim. So what would be the point of being Magdim in Yom HaKnisa? Pachot mikan, but any less than that, then it gets this special kula, that it's considered to be a kvar, and you can go into the Yom HaKnisa. And the elu amru magdimim lo ma'acharin. Now, all of the cases that we had in the previous Mishnah, where Shabbos comes out on one of these days, or for whatever reason we had to go back, it was always in terms of going back, never about going forward. And that's because of the pasuk velo ya'avor. But there are times that we never go back. We only make things later. So, continuing on from our thoughts in Masechet Ta'anit, Zman Atzei Kohanim Va'am, those times are not, if they come out on Shabbos, they are not actually done before. Those things we do later, or let's say Tisha B'Av. We don't do Tisha B'Av earlier. We do Tisha B'Av later to bring a Chagiga on Shabbos. We can't do it on Shabbos, so that we do, again, later, not earlier. If Hakel comes out on Shabbos, so then everybody's going to be coming to the Beis HaMikdash, but there's problems of doing that on Shabbos. First of all, we have Tkiyas Shofar and Chatzotzrot, I should say, really, as the Melech reads Hakel. And we also have to build a Bima Shel Eitz. And we cannot build that Bima Shel Eitz before Shabbos for two possible reasons. Also, Machlokas, whether leaving it over the Shabbos would be a violation of Hakol Bichtav Meit Hashem Alai Hiskil, in which it's usher to add any type of construction to the Beis HaMikdash in a permanent way. So that would be the equivalent of Asherah, Lotita Asherah. Any building of wood, we're not going to put in the Beis HaMikdash. We have to build the bima specially for the Melech to be able to be Kirei. So that is one possibility. The other possibility, as I said, the Chatzotzot, fine. Anyway, so we don't do that for Hakel. All of those things, we'll see why each one of them, ma'achrim velo magdimi. Now, afa pisha amru over here, that mer magdimi velo ma'achrim, so we may have a Purim on the 11th of Adar, we may have a Purim on the 12th of Adar. What's the din of those days? Well, those days are mutter behesped betainis. They are not days of simcha. And if we have this girsa, some take out this girsa, matanot levyonim, then the way to understand it would mean you are able to be yotze your chiyav matanot levyonim on that day. That's because einayim shel aniyim are nusuyim. Omer Reb Yehuda, when do we say now that this halacha of where you don't have the asara batlanim, you go to the Yom HaKnisa, That's only if you're in a place where, according to Rashi, you go to the local administrative centers on Mondays and Thursdays. According to the other Rishonim, where you have a minyan on Mondays and Thursdays in your own city. So, davka mokam shenichnasi b'sheni b'chamishi, or mokam shenichnasi lo b'sheni v'lo b'chamishi, anyway. So then we never made the takana of knisa, where there's no point to being the knisa. So then in korinota ela bizmana, and then it's always on yud dalet. Says the Gemara, when we say asara batlanim, we don't mean people, homeless people hanging around. We mean kolel people. Asara batlanim shebebet hakneset, and the Rishonim bring from very early Mekeres, that these 10 people actually fit the bill for the 10 people that we saw that you must have in a town in order for it to be roy for many inyanim. So we had, remember, we had to have a minimum, we had to have Bezdin. We have a Bezdin that needs 3 dayanim, and then we need to have Gaboy Tzedakah, and you're not allowed to have a single Gabai, so that means 5, because you need 2 Gaboy Tzedakah. You need a Mechalek Tzedakah, so that already brings us to 6. And then you need the sofer for the all purposes of safras besides the dayanim. And you need a shoter who's going to do what the Beis Din says has to be done. And then you need a chazan akneses. And then you need a lamed tinaikas. Add it all up and you get 10. So because of that, we actually make sure that we have those 10 people supported by, as the Rambam says, the Rambam is the one who makes the biggest fuss over supporting people from community funds. And he says, this actually we do as part of what a city needs. And what they do is they sit and they learn all day in the shul and everybody can come in. Why is he called a batlan, the Malamed Tinok? Again, the terminology is an unfortunate terminology because of its modern connotations. It's a very good point. But it means batlan in terms of being available for tzorchei tzibur, meaning batlan from his own business. He has no issues of his own, so that we keep him supported. Okay, so that's what it's referring to. Now, we said that all of these times, they're magdimi because of lo yavar, but all these other times, oh no, we always push them off. Why is that? So here, when it comes to this din magdimin, is because Amar Baba Amar Shmuel Amar Krova Lo Yahavar. Once I'm already quoting Rababa Amar Shmuel, I want to know 2 very important points that he brings up, binogea time. And one is a klal that we've had before. Minayin she'ein monim yamim leshanim. Years do not include days. So, for instance, if you've got a neder, and that neder is for 1 year, that 1 year is actually months, 12 months. It is not 365 days. How do we know that? Because we see that the Torah refers to the Shana through Chodshei HaShana, Chodashim, Atamoneh LeShanim, but I Atamoneh Yamim leshanim. You don't go according to the number of days. And Rabbanu Tekesaria Mishum Rebaba Amru. How do you know that we do not? Oh, very nice. How do we know that we do not mechashev hours for months, and that we don't say that if somebody says for this month I'm not going to be drinking wine, right? So that does not mean that as soon as 29 days and 12 hours and the requisite chalokim at the talk of your about the chalokim. I'm waiting with my whiskey over there. It doesn't mean that, it goes according to the days, full days. Shenemar ad chodesh yamim. That means yamim atam mechashev lechodashim, viatam mechashev sha'ot lechodashim. Now, this is a tremendous kasha on the shach. Remember that I'm sure any of you who have been involved in your own life or in a friend's life in the question of Pidyon HaBen have always got to this question, when can you do a Pidyon HaBen? Because it's always a question of the timing of the day, can I do it the night before and so on. So we know that this involves us in the fascinating question of whether we're talking about when the Torah says Ben Chodesh, does it mean Ben Chodesh even in terms of 29 days, 12 hours, and Tashzak Chalakim, which is what the Shach says, so that you have to make sure that that amount of time has passed? The Gemara says, Beferish, that we never talk about that at all. So apparently, the Nafkamina is that when you're talking about Chodshei Hashana, so then that's true. It's only Yamim. So, but over here, when we're talking about a time, that he is a Ben Chodesh, nothing to do with the year before. How much time is a Chodesh? So a Chodesh of a Levana is the amount of time between Molad and Molad. So in other words, let's say by a Neder, I'm saying according to Shach, apparently, there ought to be a difference, therefore, between a guy who says, this month, so this month is only the exact number of days, not the exact number of hours, but suppose you say for a month, so then maybe in Achinami, according to Shach, for a month would be the same as the idea of Pidyon HaBen, and it would go according to the shear of a month, that is to say, the Molad HaLavana. Okay, anyway, that's just a fascinating aside, which has Naftali very confused. He's unable to get his Sesame Street. He was looking off over there, as you could see, into the horizon, but that's because he was wearing Google lenses. So he was looking up into the horizon to see all those other things in his lenses. But we'll continue now with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Manatzi, Kayanim, Tishabov, Chagiga, Hakel, all of these things were Me'acher. Why? Well, Tisha B'Av, we don't want to have previous to Tisha B'Av to have to suffer the Peronios. We don't bring Peronios earlier. So therefore, for sure, we're going to put it off. Chagiga B'Hakel, well, what are we supposed to do? You cannot make it earlier. You bring a Chagiga before Yontev. That's crazy. And you can't do a Hakel when it isn't the day of the Hakel. So forget about it. That's not an option, okay? Akati Lomotas Man Chiyuvayu, obviously. And the Tana in the Brisa says, a very, very opaque statement. Chagiga, the chol's man chagiga, ma'achrin. What in the world? I mean, chagiga, I understand. Chagiga ma'achrin means that if the first day of Yontav is Shabbos, and you would normally be bringing your carbon chagiga on that day, you can't bring it because it's Shabbos. So the imig, obviously only a carbon of the tzibur is doich Shabbos. I mean, you can't come into the Beis HaMikdash and bring a personal carbon chagiga, which is a shlomim. You're going to bring a chagiga on Shabbos. So that I understand what it means. That a mikla b'shabbata. So then we put it off till Sunday. But what in the world do you mean with the words chagiga v'chozman chagiga? What's that? Omer of Oshaya. Let me say like this. That chagiga on Shabbos, but when it comes to an olas ria, even if it's bisman chagiga, so meaning it's the time for a chagiga, it's yontif, it's not Shabbos, but you don't bring an ola even if it's yontif, which is the zman of chagiga, because of the fact that it's not roy lachila, and you're not allowed to be, it's lachem, and lachem is only if you're going to be eating it yourself, but not for gavoa. So you're not going to be bringing it for achilas hamizbeach. That's what it's coming to tell me, in which case it would only be going according to Beit Shammai. So mani, that's gufa machlokas, remember. How to be deresh lachem? Is it lachem velo lagavoa, meaning not to the mizbeach? Or is it lachem velo laakum? And you can't do things on yontev that is not for Ben Yisrael's requirements. So anyway, according to Beit Shammai, which is what Rav Oshaya is clearly saying over here, is that the Braisa is Beit Shammai, it would be true that even though it's the Zman Chagiga and it's Yontav, it's not the Zman for a carbon Re'iyah. It's not. Beit Shammai Omrim, maybe Im Shlamim Be'Yom Tov, but you don't do Smicha, as we saw, because of the Gezeira, and you're not allowed to lean on Kachim. Avalo Olot, what's the problem? You could bring olot because they're Mizbeach's food. And the Torah never said lachem v'lo l'mizbeach. It's lachem v'lo l'nachrim. So therefore, maybe im shlamim, maybe im olot, sobchim alayam, and so on. Okay, Rava says, no, that's not what it means. We'll be going according to Beit Shammai. That's not true. Here's the way to read it. Chagiga, we put off ma'achrin. And you know how long we're ma'achrin? V'chol zman chagiga ba'achrin. You could put it off as long as it's the time to be chogeg, meaning it's still yontav, but you cannot bring a chagiga if you missed your zman chagiga after yontav. Tvelo. You cannot put it off any longer. And this is basically the Mishnah in chagiga. Mi shelo chag b'yom tov rishon shel chag, chogeg v'holechet kol haregel kulo, even kol zman chagiga, meaning even on Shmini Atzeres, yom tov achron shel chag, you could still bring the chagiga for Sukkot kol zman that you're chogeg. But once over haregel v'lo chag, you didn't bring your chagiga, whoops, then it's over zman I batel korbanai. And there's no way to be yotze your chagiga, and eno chayav b'achrayuto, because the chagiga is over, so you can't make it up. Rav Ashi says, I don't think that's the pshat either. I think the chiddush is that chagiga, v'chol zman chagiga, any time that would normally have been the time that you would be chogeg. What do we mean normally? Normally a yontav is 7 days, right? I mean, minimum. So what happens if it's yontav of Shavuos and you missed your chagiga because, I mean, according to Beit Shammai, you're always going to miss your chagiga. But what happens if you missed your chagiga? So that's what I'm saying. That the chagiga v'chol zman chagiga ma'achrin afilo atzeres, which is chad yuma, we're also ma'achrin for 7 days. That's not modim. She'im chal atzeret liot b'shabbat. Everybody's moda. Beis Hillel is also moda. Beit Shammai are all agreed to each other. That if, of course, it comes out on Shabbos, then it's not going to be docha any korbanos. That over there, yom tevoach, the correct day to do the shechita of the korbanos will be in the week following Shabbos. And it's achra Shabbos, even though it's not Shavuos anymore. That we learn out in Chagiga from a pasuk that there is a halacha of a week long tashlumin for yontav of Shavuos as well. And we keep that also in the way that we don't say tachanun and so on. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. I could tell you a story. I can tell you that Rebbe, the reason we bring up this story now is because it's Nogea pushing off Tisha B'Av. So I once saw Rebbe planting a sapling on Purim. And another amazing thing was that he went to the public bath in the middle of Tzipori on Shivasar B'Tammuz. But African Shivasar B'Tammuz? Yes. And not only that, he brought together his bezdin and he wanted to be Oiker Tisha B'Av. Cancel Tisha B'Av. Whoa. But they wouldn't accept it. Lo hodulo. So now, to make this clear, we explain, and this is how it fits into our sugya. Omar lefanav rebaba varzavda. So Rebbe Elazar had not properly presented all of the facts. So rebaba varzavda said to him, Rebbe, that's not precisely what happened. Loka chayamase. The maisa was that it was a Tisha B'Av that had come out that year on Shabbos, and we were doicha Tisha B'Av, so it was a nidcha. And Rebbe said, look, once we were already doicha Tisha B'Av, hol v'nidcha yidache, let us not keep it as Tisha B'Av. Obviously, it's still going to be a tainis, but it should not have all of the chumras of Tisha B'Av with the inuyim and so on. That we shouldn't keep. And they wouldn't be makabel on that either. This is why we bring it up here, because there's no get pushing off Tisha B'Av. And so Rebbe Elazar said, oh, thank you for setting me straight on this. Tovim ashnayim min ha'echad, because I really didn't have all of the facts. But wait a minute, getting back to the business of Rebbe planting a tree on Purim? How is that possible? V'atani Rav Yosef, there were three things that it mentions about Purim. And that is, it says in the pasuk, simcha, mishte, and yom tov. So those things, they're not just words that we throw around. Those are words with meaning. And it says, Alkena Yehudim ha-yoshvim ba'orei ha-prozot, osim et yom ha-arbasar lechodesh adar simcha u-mishte v'yom tov u-mishloach manot ish l'reyehu. So what is each of those things? Simcha teaches us that it's osir in hespedim. Mishte teaches us you got to be eating, and it's osir to fast. Yom tov teaches us you're not allowed to do malacha. What else would be the meaning of Yom Tov? So how in the world could you do a malacha on Purim? So what we have to say, says the Gemara, is actually that Rebbe was a bar arbesa. Rebbe lived in a city that was a 14th of Adar, and when he planted v'chinata, he planted on the 15th. Wait a minute, what do you mean Rebbe was a 14ther? Rebbe lived in Tveria, and Tveria's got this wall, right? The Tveria's mukefet chomami emot Yoshua ben Nun, we're going to see soon. So his correct day was Tetvav. So what do you mean he planted on Tetvav? Okay, I got it backwards. Rebbe was a Tetvavnik, so he was a Mukaf Choma, and he planted on the regular Purim, on the 14th. No, wait a minute. You're quite certain about this, that Tveria is actually a 15th city, and it's Mukaf Choma Miyamot Yoshua Ben Nun? I know that Chizkia was makpid to read both days in Tveria. He read on the 14th and on the 15th, because he was not certain whether it was Mukefet Chomami Yemot Yoshua Bin Nun or not. So now, how come Rebbe was so positive about the fact that he was a 15ther and not a 14ther? Well, Chizkia was not sure, and Rebbe was sure. Okay, so he was sure. I mean, even if he was sure, I thought that we keep both of the days as Purim Katan. And that you would actually keep both of your days in the same. There's dinim about the days of the 14th and 15th. So v'chipshita le mishori, it should have that same din that, it, like it says in Megillas Tainis, we keep the yom arba'asar, the yom chamishasar. Those are the days of Purim. Yom Purim ilan de lola mispat bon. And Rava says, well, what is the point? I mean, I need Megillas Tainis to tell me something that's in the Megillas Esther. The point is that they are both days of Purim. Because the Megillah of Esther came to define the Chiyuvim of Zmano Shoseh, Lo Zmano Shoseh. But the Megillah's Tainus came to explain that there are 2 days of Purim for everybody. And Lo Nitzra Eloleh, Sorat Shoseh Bezeh, Shoseh Bezeh. So now, if Hesped and Tainus apply on both of these days, then it would be reasonable to assume that the Din of Yom Tov applies on both of these days as well. And therefore, Rebbe, just because he's a 15ther, doesn't give him the right to do malacha on the 14th. Well, no, wait a minute. I mean, Megillas Tainus is only about Hesped and Tainus. Megillas Tainus is not about doing work, ever. So that's fine. Malacha is, of course, only that day. So hani mili be Hesped ve Tainus. Really? Then how do you explain the fact that when Rav was walking by, he sees somebody who was planting flax on Purim, and he cursed him out, and because he cursed him out, that flax never grew. So davikashadi kitna bapuria, velatye, velot samach kitne, and sure enough, it didn't grow, and that must have been a day where there was some question, no? About whether he was allowed to. I'm assuming it was on the other day. No, that guy was really a nice varv. He was planting linen flax on Purim itself. Atam bar yumahavi. Maybe if it wouldn't have been that day, then he wouldn't have cursed him out. Rabba Bereda Rava Amar, gentlemen, this whole discussion is a waste of time. You're making a big mistake. It's true that it's such a beautiful deer. It's true that it does say in the Megillah, when it's talking about the Yehudim HaPrazim, and remember the Ramban talks about the fact that the Prazim kept that day all on their own before Mordechai and Esther made it the Takana. And therefore, says Rabba Bereda Rava, look at the Pasuk clearly, you'll see the most amazing thing. Because even if it was Mamish the day of Purim, and Rebbe planted a tree on the day of Purim, it's not a problem, because there was no Yontif of Purim. The Yehudim, at the time that they needed to be Mekabel the Takana, remember, you need to be Mekabel the Takana in order for it to be Chal. So the best thing could go around making whatever Takanas they want, but if the Tzibor refuses to accept them, and the Takana does not catch on, it becomes Batal automatically after the year. So the idea was, if you look at the Megillah, Hesped v'ta'anit kabilu alayu. It's true that the Takana of Purim was sent initially to be a Yontav, but nobody accepted it as a yontif. Malacha, look up your law. This Isser Malacha was never accepted by the public, and therefore it was bottle. Note how clear this comes out in the pasuk, because if you take a look in the pasuk when we originally describe it, as we said, okay, now Yudim Aprasim, Osim et Yom Arba Asar, nothing about the 15th. This is before the takana was sent out. Simcha Mishte Yom Tov and Mishloach Manot, right? But then when they send around the takana and it talks about what Yisrael was mekabel, it says that what they were mekabel achodesh asher nepachle miyagon lesimcha mi'evel yom tov lasototam yemei mishte v'simcha u'mishloach manot ish l'reyehu. Not a word about yontif. Isn't that fantastic? So it's telling you within a few psukim of each other. Well, we tried to make a yontif. Nobody accepted it as a yontif. So it ended up that there was no takana that asr asiyas malacha. And therefore, Rebbe went ahead and he planted. So what would be the problem? Ilu yontif lo k'tiv. Wait a minute. So then why was Rav angry at the guy that was planting the flax? Why did he curse him? My time alati alahu gavra. Oh, that's a different issue. What happened over there was that in that person's community, they had a minig not to do malacha on Purim. So therefore, it was dvarim hamutarim. And if somebody's noeg iser, so community is noeg iser, so it's achayim nogubem iser. This guy didn't want to keep to what everybody was doing. And in the makom, so Rav answered it. Because for this guy, because there was a makom, so he cursed him for ignoring the minhag makom. But Rebbe wasn't living in a place that had that minhag, and therefore he planted the tree because it was not usher, and there was no minhag to answer it. And I can even tell you another answer. You know what? It could be that Rebbe actually planted the tree in a place where it was a minhag, not to work on Purim. But what kind of tree did he plant? He didn't plant just any old tree. Rebbe planted a netiyah shel simcha. And remember, we had back in Ta'anit that the Isser, we were talking about in the case where Chas v'Chalila, they did all of the fasts of the Tainus Tzibors, and there was no rain. So it says over there, Mimatin b'masav v'matan, and b'netiyah shel simcha, not stam in any netiyah. So remayet b'binyan b'netiyah, b'erisim b'nisuim, and in the Braita we explain when we say that you don't do any building. What do I mean any building? We mean binyan shel simcha, which is done for purposes of a wedding. They used to build a house for a child, and they would make the wedding in that house, and then that house would be a wedding gift. Not bad, huh? Let me tell you, they knew how to do things once upon a time. So that was the binyan shel simcha. And you'll note that Ira's got a couple of new buildings going on in the background. He's got his plans already in shape. And what is a netiyah shel simcha? He pretends that it's for me when I come to visit on Shabbos, right? So, so what is the netiyah shel simcha? The netiyah shel simcha, that would be a noteav or nakish shel malachim. And we saw the different pshatim back there in Tainus, that they would have a minhag to plant a tree, and then they would use that tree to make the chuppah when the child got married. Or it's just a place where you can really have a beautiful garden, a place to sit under the trees, and enjoy yourself with a cup of talisker, even though Richie has lately been violating his own court. It's a pachad. But you know what the Gemara says. Al tiftach ba'atzmechad yom motcha. Yochanan kohen gadol. Somebody would have told you that Richie would give up being the talisker Rebbe. You'd say it's not possible. It's a musar haskel, Rabbi Yisai. You never know what can go wrong as you get older. Shem Yishmor. Anyway, so this would be anoteya avurnaki shel malachim. Anyway, getting back to the suffix, like what exactly was Chizkiah's problem? It says he wasn't sure whether Tveria was mukav choma mimot Yoshua ben Nun, and therefore he was kari b'Tveria bar besa ubechamesa, because misapkali mukav choma mimot Yoshua ben Nun. How can anybody doubt that Tveria was mukaf choma miyamot Yoshua ben Nun? It's a beferish of pasuk. It says in Yoshua, when it's listing over there the cities of the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael. So it says over there, Va'orei Miftzar, now Orei Miftzar by definition means that it had a wall. That's what makes it a fortress, right? So what are these Orei Miftzar? So it lists a bunch of cities over there. Tzidim, and Tzer, and Hamat, and Rakat, and Kinneret. And we end up, as we're going to see tomorrow, Kaimalon Rakat is Tveria. So it's a pasuk. No. Of course he knew that there was a wall. He had another brilliant question. Brilliant. His question was like this. One side of Tveria is not a wall. It's a moat. Oh, it's a pretty big moat. It's the Amah Kinneret. But Lamaisa, one side of the city, is protected by the water. And it's not protected by an additional wall behind the water. The wall itself was good enough protection. So therefore, his question was whether a wall that consists of partial protection with a moat, is that considered to be a wall? Wait a minute. So then that's not a suffix. We know that that's not a wall. We know that from a b'raisa, b'feirish. So then what was his suffix? Amai mesafkalei. It's definitely not a wall. Because we learn in the b'raisa, which is talking about batei orechima. So it says over there, asher lo choma. A choma, says the Braita, means a wall, not a shur iger. There are such things as row houses that are built around an open area to provide a sense of a protected community. So this is very common. It doesn't mamish have a wall. The back of the houses are the wall. There's no entry into that area except through the front where the shomer is, but there's no separate wall. Well, that doesn't count as a choma. That's called a shor iger. That's just a bunch of roofs, so to speak, facing the other way. And when it says saviv, it means the wall goes all around. And this, says the Braisa, excludes Tveria. Parat l'Tveria, sheyama chomata. It's the wall that's the only made by the Yama Kinneret. Yam Kinneret hi chomata. Shama ha'ir banuya. Mata yavo ve'ere admat kodesh tefariyat. Okay, so then the Braita says beferish. So we used to sing all the time at the kever of Rabbi Meir Mitzvah Shabbos. So this is clearly not considered to be a wall. So why is he in Mesupak? No, he's not Mesupak about the din legabi batei orechima. His suffix was legabi mikra megillah. So even though the Maisa were semech mikra megillah on the prazi and so on, which Lechora might imply to you that whatever defines the Muk of Choma at that time, Legabe the Din of Batei Arechoma, should be Bedavka the Din Legabe the Megillah, that is not true. And remember Rashi had a Machlokas with Tosas before, when we were talking about, does it have to be a city in which first there was a wall and then you settled it? Or could it, is that a Din only Legabe Batei Arechoma in the Araisa? But not Legabe Megillah, because it's irrelevant to the Megillah. Or, as Tosaf says, Nogea the Dinim of the Megillah also. Over here, we see clearly that the Gemara is Mechalek between the way we define a wall for Batei Orechoma and the way that we define the wall for Mikra Megillah. And here is Chizkiah's Suffolk. What is the point in the Megillah of making this fundamental distinction between the people that are the Arei HaPrazi, Alkena Yehudim HaPrazim HaYoshvim Ba'orei HaPrazot? What do you mean, Alkena Yehudim HaPrazim? I mean, what is that? HaYehudim HaPrazim? Like, this defines what kind of Jew you are? So the question is like this. Is the difference, remember the Ramban understood the difference. The difference is in terms of how well protected you were. And therefore, did you feel yourself to be chasuf? Were you vulnerable to the Gezerah of Haman to the same extent that the Yehudim HaPrazim, they felt themselves vulnerable because they were not protected by fortresses? Is that the point? Or is the point exposed? Now, exposed does not necessarily mean vulnerable to attack, because you could be exposed and be behind a force field. And that's the case over here. You're exposed, but you're behind the moat, which we call the Yama Kinneret. So you're not vulnerable, but you are exposed. Now, this is the question, whether a person who is a makom of exposure is more sensitive, and that's why there was the fact that they were mekabel on themselves that takana. If that's the case, then they're exposed in Tveria. So that's the question. Is the prazim and the mukafim dechtiv gabi mikro megillah? Is that defined because of exposure? Dani miglu vani lo miglu. And if that's the definition, then Tveria is exposed. Ani nami miglu. Or is it because the wall provides protection? Well, if it's Bishum Dani Mignu, so then Tveria's got very good protection. Do Yama Kinneret. Bishum Achim is Safkale. Ask any Brit whether that's called protection. Oh, yes, indeedy. That little wall, which is called the English Channel, that's the big protection. I mean, old story of the Second World War, right? So Rav Asi was calling Megillah B'Hutzel. He read the Megillah in Hutzel. It's a machlokas, what Hutzel we're talking about over here, because this is very nogea whether the dinim of Bati Ari Chema apply in Hutzel Eretz. So he read the Megillah in Hutzel on the 14th and the 15th, because he was misupak, whether it was B'Kefet Chuma, Miyamot Yoshua Ben Nun. And some say that actually what Rav Asi said was, you should know that the Hutzel that's in Eretz Yisrael in the area of Binyamin is definitely Mukefet Choma Miyamot Yehoshua Bin Nun.